Let me tell you about Public Square. There are several lines that meet other edges.
Youth of this country who are already in a disillusioned, disenchanted state will be encouraged.
Where we talk about the fine margins. Sometimes it's black, white, and blurry.
It's also informed by the need to save costs and reduce legislative time.
Then there are the actors right at the center, coming through political processes, which could be dramatic.
To the extent of this man, if Parliament does not rise this morning.
And controversial.
If driving through the roads is engaging the macabre, compatibility is that of government.
And there's you to help connect the dots from the top to the bottom. Join Rotimi Sankore and Agogo Obu at the Public Square every Friday from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is the Public Square.
You're listening to the home of great talk and exciting conversations.
Many times, I think the word submission used in the context of marriage is very ambiguous.
When you eat granola too much, you'll get eye problems. Or when you drink garri too much, you'll get eye problems. Is this true?
Just like you said, these are myths.
He said, women, speak life into your husbands, even when he's not acting right. And I almost threw my phone at him.
99.3 Nigeria Info.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is the Public Square.
99.3 Nigeria Info. Welcome to the Public Square. My name is Ezugu Chukwudi. Time check is 6 minutes past our 4 p.m. And you know, every Friday, right after business news, we bring you Public Square with Rotimi Sankore. On the show today, we will focus on the matter of palliatives in the wake of fuel subsidy removal. Now, what type of palliatives are best in a country where 63% of the population, making up 133 million people, are living in multidimensional poverty? When should such palliatives have been administered? And how are such palliatives best administered? Now, detailed analysis, critical assessment of these, you know, questions that I have posed would be done by Rotimi Sankore, and I would love for you to join in the conversation. So this is where I would appeal to you to pay attention to, you know, the detailed analysis. And when we, you know, start off getting feedback from members of the public, we are going to have an engaging conversation. It's really very important that we have this information. And on Public Square, you know, it is essentially about the details, the facts, and the stats. Men lie, women lie, but the numbers do not lie. And how best to address the problems if we do not have an understanding of what the problems are and how to go about it. I am now joined by Rotimi Sankore. Good afternoon, Rotimi. Welcome to Public Square.
Hey, hello, Chukwudi.
Yes, I can hear you loud and clear. Good afternoon. You're most welcome.
Thank you.
Yes, I don't know if in the spirit of solidarity, this is the time to say, Aku, no traffic on the road. Aku, trek long distances. Aku, 600 naira per liter. Aku, gbogbo. Because, I mean, a lot of Nigerians are looking at this situation, and it's really very, very complex. But what you do for us is, you know, through informed commentary and data analysis, break it down so that we all understand that while there are issues, if we have an understanding and we do the right things, we are going to proffer solutions to these problems. Before I begin to ask the questions, it's important that I also share that you can engage the program on Twitter at Rotimi Sankore, at Rotimi Sankore, at Public Square NG, and also at Nigeria Info FM. I am going to do well to see that I get messages from our tweeps and, you know, share them on during the course of the program. You can also reach out to us, 0700-993-993-993. And we have a special line for our female listeners, 01465-7190. There's also WhatsApp. In fact, I can already see messages about palliative. Once Nigerians hear palliative, their ears will stand. But before you begin to share these messages, it's important that you listen to the detailed analysis and informed commentary. Once again, welcome to Public Square, Rotimi.
Thank you, Chukwudi.
Yes. So, why is there controversy over the matter of palliatives? Is it a situation of, if you do, then go talk? If you not do, then go talk? Why the Ferrari exactly?
Well, I think that the matter is completely misunderstood. I mean, the way the palliative is being discussed in Nigeria, especially from the government side, I mean, let me give an analogy, not exactly direct, but it will give people an idea of the scale of the problem. I mean, to put it in street parlance, it's like, you know, person will get belly.
Okay.
But now on the day of the delivery, then they do the first checkup.
Ah.
You know.
That one a big problem.
When the checkups, everything should have started 9 months before.
True.
But on the day of the delivery is when you are arriving at hospital for the first time. So this is why this matter is like this. And the reason it is important to make this point is that, I mean, let's not forget that before the fuel subsidy removal, a lot of Nigerians already needed palliative. And why do I say so? Before the fuel subsidy removal, the unemployment in Nigeria was already at 33%. Which is the highest in the world before the fuel subsidy removal. So already 33% of the population, of the working population, needed palliative. The youth unemployment specifically before the fuel subsidy removal was already at 53%, the second highest in the world. So 53% of the youth already needed palliative. And overall, 63% of the population, or 133 million people, were already certified some months ago as living in multidimensional poverty. So 133 million people before the fuel subsidy removal already needed palliative. So when you look at all these figures, and then people are now saying palliative when the subsidy was said to have been removed unceremoniously without any preparation, that's not the real issue. The real issue is that 63% of the country already needed palliative a long time ago.
Mm.
So the fuel subsidy is what underlined it. So, you know, and when you say people are living in multidimensional poverty, that means it's not just that the money that they get from work is not adequate. Generally, it means that they have poor or no access to education, poor or no access to healthcare, poor or no access to decent housing, poor or no access to decent diet, poor or no access to decent transport, and so forth like that. So the issue of palliative predates the fuel subsidy. Mm. The fuel subsidy, you know, just underlines that, in fact, the previous government and the current one did not understand what the role of government is. The role of government is to ensure that everybody has a decent standard of living. So to the extent that the same party has continued at the federal level, at the state level, some changes, and at the local government, the situation is yet to unfold. But the fact that we already have this 63% of population in multidimensional poverty carried over actually shows that there's a misunderstanding of what the role of government is. What has now put the beginning on it is that when the subsidy removal was announced, there was no palliative announced along with it, and it's almost 2 months now.
Interesting. Now it is clear why there is controversy over the issue of palliatives, but you have mentioned the current administration, the immediate past administration. In fact, if we look back at governance since the return to democratic rule on the 29th of May 1999, 24 years of uninterrupted civilian rule. It would appear like, even though the numbers have changed over time, talking about people living in poverty, something ought to have been done a very long time ago. I think it's a good time to ask, when exactly should the palliatives have been administered? 8 years ago? 16 years ago? 24 years ago?
Well, generally speaking, I mean, let us compare with more developed countries. The point is that once you fall into poverty, palliative are administered to you.
Okay.
In most developed countries. Hmm. I mean, when I say most, because there is caveat. I mean, America, for instance, is one of the most unequal developed countries in the world. And most people don't get palliative when they fall into poverty in the US. So we have to be careful. But we can say most developed countries, once you fall into poverty, the palliatives start getting administered right from that point. So if that had been done incrementally up to the point when a few months ago, the Bureau of Statistics published the multidimensional poverty report with partners like the UNDP and so forth like that, and they said 133 million Nigerians in multidimensional poverty. If the palliative had not been administered incrementally before, that is when it should have been administered. Because essentially, you know, the official data showed us that 63% of the population were not just in poverty, but were in multidimensional poverty. So that is, I mean, that was the last bus stop for the palliative to have kicked in, even if it was not done incrementally before. So, you know, the fuel subsidy matter just underlines a complete misunderstanding of the role of government by those in government.
Interesting. The understanding of the situation and acting immediately to deal with it. But let's look at, you know, our situation and be realistic. 63% of the population, you know, constituting 133 million are currently dealing with multidimensional poverty. Let's talk about palliatives. What kind of palliatives exactly are best suited in a country like Nigeria, given our situation?
So the multidimensional poverty comes with a lot of baggage. So, for instance, those in hunger and malnutrition are in serious trouble. Why? Because if as a child by the age of 5, you are severely malnourished, it means that your intellectual ability to learn, to process information, to make sense of things has ended by the age of 5 if you have suffered severe malnutrition. And malnutrition is one of the key aspects of multidimensional poverty. And I mean, for as far as I can remember, Katsina and Zamfara State have been exchanging the baton as to who is coming first or second in terms of malnourished children or overall malnourished population. So you have a large percentage of the population, they are grown up, but their cognitive or intellectual ability is quite low because of the historical malnourishment in those kind of countries, in those kind of states. I mean, hence, one of the fallouts is the easy recruitment of people into banditry because they appear to be grown up, but intellectually and cognitively, I mean, they are not there at all. So when you ask the question, what kind of palliative are best administered in a country with multidimensional poverty? I mean, well, there you go. You know, palliative for malnourishment is one of those places. You know, is one of the key issues in those places. If you look at access to education, everything is built on education. We always talk of education on Public Square all the time. So already, if you have a situation where even in Lagos, depending on which data you are looking at, between 70% and 90% of the primary and secondary schools are in the private sector. That means already that historically the state has failed in its responsibility to provide education. Mm. And what is the implication of that? When people fall into multidimensional poverty, it means they can't pay. And if they can't pay, then they fall out of the system. And if they continue in the system, I mean, they will be lucky if they are not in a school with 50 or 100 children per class or more. So in that kind of situation, the palliative should have been administered educationally to ensure that everybody has a certain level of literacy and skills. And the impact of that, of course, will be less or no agbero. I mean, to disturb other people in the state. So not having applied the free education, because in most developed countries, the first 12 years of education are completely free. Primary and secondary, or primary and high school. So, I mean, the burden is on the state, full stop, because the state knows what the consequence is and so forth like that. You go to transport, you know, you go to healthcare, I mean, you go to energy. Mm. I mean, we'll go over them one by one, in a few minutes.
Yes.
But those are the kind of palliatives that are best administered in a country where 63% are living in multidimensional poverty. Mm. The idea that 2,000 naira a week or 8,000 naira a month, I mean, for a few months, is going to solve that problem of multidimensional poverty, I mean, it's just not correct by any computation. You don't even have to be an economist to know that that computation is just not going to work. So if government goes ahead with it, and feels that they have done something. Actually, they have done nothing. Mm. Because the key areas, transport, education, healthcare, housing, malnourishment, and so forth like that, energy, have not been addressed. And the 8K a month to those lucky enough to be on the register, which the government itself has now come out to say, oh, the register of the previous government is dubious and is not reliable. So which register are they going to use? The state governors have suggested that they provide the register. I mean, how? I mean, we know the kind of biases that are likely to happen there. So we need to look at institutional issues that drive people into poverty. We know, of course, that the minimum wage is not enough, for sure. In a country like Nigeria now, with inflation and standard of living, minimum wage should be at least 200,000 naira at the very minimum. At least 200, some are even saying 250 to 300,000. So, I mean, the cash in your pocket is not going to do all these things we mentioned, transport, education, healthcare, housing, energy, but at least to ensure that you have transport money to go to work for 4 weeks, you need 200,000 plus now. Hmm. And they are not even talking of that yet.
Wow, interesting. Now I am certain that, you know, when I go over and over and state that it's important to pay attention because the commentary is highly informed and we focus on the data, you would understand why I go over this comment. And that is because we need to understand. I'm certain that, you know, many people who have listened to you answer my second question would know now that it's not essentially about 2,000 naira, six cups of rice, or even 8,000 naira. It's, you know, dealing with the issues very importantly as they affect Nigerians. Now, let's talk about the administration of palliatives and how best we can go about them. You know, I would like us to look at certain key areas that you have mentioned and how they affect the lives of the people directly. Transport, education, food, housing, healthcare, energy. But before we begin to take them one after the other, I would, you know, like to point out that some people are of the opinion that in order to find lasting solutions to these problems, you must do something in the immediate before you do the medium term and thereafter the long term. Now, you have mentioned malnourishment, food, education, transport, healthcare, energy, housing. Those that say this cannot happen overnight. But in order to see that at least you alleviate the sufferings of the majority who are the poorest of the poor, you must do something in the immediate. Do you think that, you know, they have a valid argument and this justifies why you must have a register and maybe disburse funds, no matter how little, so that the people can, you know, to a considerable degree survive day to day?
Well, I mean, in terms of the immediacy of the matter, I already mentioned the minimum wage. I mean, the minimum wage, if you are to go by today's fuel prices and not the fallout from it, you need somewhere between 200 and 300,000 naira minimum wage to be able to go to work every day for a month. That's just for transport, so that you are not trekking every day. We haven't started talking of food, housing, healthcare. Just maybe you can get to work and earn a living. So if you want to talk about that, then obviously 8,000 is not going to do anything. And if we say, I mean, if they say, oh, that there's no money for it, well, I mean, there is money for it.
Okay, because
when you look at
we're going to talk about whether there is money or not for it and these major sectors when we return from this break, please.
Let me tell you about Public Square. There are several lines that meet other edges.
The youth of this country who are already in a disillusioned, disenchanted state will be encouraged.
Where we talk about the fine margins. Sometimes it's black, white, and blurry.
It's also informed by the need to save costs and reduce legislative time.
Then there are the actors right at the center, coming through political processes, which could be dramatic.
To be a state of dismal if Parliament does not raise this money.
And controversial.
If driving through the roads is engaging the macabre dance. Compatibility is that of government.
And there's you to help connect the dots from the top to the bottom. Join Rotimi Sankore and Arogo Obo at the Public Square every Friday from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. 99.3 Nigeria Info.
99.3 Nigeria Info Lagos. You listen to that very important information. A total of 90,000 naira can be won every day on Nigeria Info FM. And if you'd like to partake in the largesse, just dial *347*880*3# and pay only 200 naira. So with 200 naira, you are going to win.
That's it too.
So just do well to participate so that you can, join our winners and enjoy the largesse.
The Public Square.
Welcome back to The Public Square with Rotimi Sankore. On the show today, we are focused on the matter of palliatives in the wake of fuel subsidy removal. And we are asking, you know, looking at the fact that 63% of Nigerians, making a total of 133 million people, live in multidimensional poverty, when should we have administered these palliatives and how should they have been administered? Now, Rotimi Sankore has, in the first half of the show, provided detailed analysis and, you know, the data for us to look at this situation and have an understanding of what it is. He's answered questions on the controversy over the matter of palliatives and when palliatives should have been administered, you know, the kind of palliatives best suited in a country where 63% of the population live in multidimensional poverty. And I, before we went on that break, asked the question and said that we were going to focus on key areas like transport, education, food, housing, healthcare, energy. But before Rotimi begins to inform us with detailed analysis of these sectors and how these palliatives are best administered, I asked the question about people saying it's important to do certain things in the immediate to at least cushion the effect of the challenges that people are faced with. And he mentioned that some people have said, well, if you look at the situation, minimum wage should be 200,000, 250,000. Some have even said more. But the question is, do we have the money? Over to you, Rotimi.
Yes, Chukwu, the money is there.
Ha.
I mean, this idea that federal government or states cannot afford to pay people what is described globally as a living wage, or not just the federal government, you know, most employers, that they shouldn't pay a living wage because it will lead to inflation. Well, we already have inflation, and people are suffering the consequences of that inflation. So, you have, if you look at the global 24/7 news broadcast, you will see that even in Europe, doctors, teachers, nurses, train drivers, and so forth are going on strike almost every month. And the reason they are going on strike is that the wages are not keeping up with the cost of living. Sometimes they're asking for 7%, sometimes 8%, and like that. And the government are offering 3, 4, or 5%. But the point is that regardless of what is eventually agreed, there are certain basics that are taken for granted. And one of those is that public officials are not disconnected from the reality. So if you go across most of the more developed countries, you will not find, any year like in Nigeria, where between the president and the vice president, just to give an example, we're not talking of state governors and their deputies yet, between the president and the vice president, just for feeding, $508 million a year, two people. If you missed it, Vanguard on July 2nd or 3rd this month, I think on July 2nd, it was on second day of the month, published a very, very disturbing breakdown of the allowances that many public officials get. And this amount is carried over from the previous administration, by the way. And according to that breakdown, the president gets $331 million for food a year. In other words, roughly $27 million a month. How much food are you eating for almost 1 million naira a day? How much? And for the VP, is it that the VP stomach is smaller? And for that reason, they decided that 14 million a month for food for the VP. Is what the VP requires. Just two people, 508 million. Do you know how much food you have to be eating to eat 1 million naira of food a day? Do you know how many people you will be feeding? And that is carried over from the previous administration, during which this data of 133 million in multidimensional poverty came out. That's just one instance. We haven't started talking of the governors and their deputies. So when they say there is no money for increasing minimum wage, there is no way that they can be serious. Look, in this country, presidents get hardship allowance of 1.7 million. Presidents, 1.7 million a month. Which hardship is the president living in? The president is living in a free house, has free light, has free car, has health, has everything. That's the last person suffering hardship, 1.7 million a month. This is data coming from the National Assembly during the budget breakdown. And if you look at governors, deputies, not even counting, the very disturbing feeding, money. They get fashion allowance, they get, entertainment allowance, they get newspaper allowance, all running into tens of millions. At that level, again, if you go to most developed countries, when you pay the president or the governor, you have paid them. They are not getting any fashion allowance. They are not getting any entertainment allowance. They are not getting any feeding allowance. I remember when Michelle Obama, the wife of former President Obama, I mean, who's a Harvard-trained lawyer in her own right? You know, so let's not belittle her by saying president's wife. She's a Harvard. In fact, the first law firm where President Obama worked, Michelle was his mentor there.
Mm.
So she put out a she put out a memo when they were elected to friends and relatives saying, please do not visit arbitrarily. She also put it in a book that she published. She had to remind friends and relatives, do not visit arbitrarily. Every biscuit, every cookie, every chocolate, every soft drink that you have when you visit in the White House, that they pay for it personally. They pay for it personally. I mean, when you request, they will give you, they deduct it. Full stop. And they say, look, they still have children to send to school. I mean, here, I mean, if you look at most government houses, and now I'm talking from experience, because my father was a senior government official. I mean, not even too senior. But our neighbors in Ikoyi were ministers, judges, you know, all kinds of people like that. Especially during the military regime. I mean, ministers were killing cow, goat, and turkey in case they had visitors.
In case?
In case they had visitors. Yes, in case they had visitors. On government bill, I saw with my eye, Korokoro, it's not that they said. And a lot of these things were carried over into Shagari era in 1979, continued when Buhari came back in 83, 84, and a lot of these things are still continuing now. So when they say there is no money, you have to ask. I mean, people refer to these things as cost of governance. I mean, which governance? I mean, why should any sitting president have 27 million naira a month for food? Wow. I mean, Chukwudi, you or anybody listening now, after being paid at the end of the month, do you get an extra amount? Yeah, they say 270,000 for food.
Not at all.
Oh, 270,000 for entertainment. Oh, 270,000 for newspaper. Oh, 270,000 for fashion allowance. Oh, 270, you know, and so on and so forth like that.
Wow.
And we have not even started counting the assistance yet. You know, if you look at, just look at the National Assembly, you know, 35 assistants for the speaker, 15 for deputy, 10 each for six principal officers. Then when you go to the Senate and you start counting, just the National Assembly leadership alone may have more than 1,000 aides. What are they doing for them? What are they doing for them? If you go to most countries in Europe, don't have presidential jets. They want to travel. They hire one plane from the national carrier or from the best airline available. They go and they come back and they relinquish it back. So a lot of the things called cost of governance in Nigeria is actually state capture. And it didn't start today. It didn't start today. It started from military regime right from the time of then go on, you know, in the 60s, in the 70s, and it has continued. So when they say there is no money to pay living wage, you say, come on, guys. You know, you guys live in free house. You do free electricity, free transport. On top of it, you are getting millions for food, entertainment, newspaper, fashion, and so forth. We haven't even mentioned convoy yet. You know, a governor can be passing and in the, you know, 10 or 20 cars easily. That's 2 billion or 4 billion just passing. Just for a few minutes like that.
Interesting. You know? I mean,
the answer to your question in summary, Chukwudi, is that the resources are there. The question is, what is the priority of government? Is it the citizens or is it the people in government?
Exactly.
That's the question, really.
All right.
You know, most developed countries, when I was living and working abroad, the member of parliament representing my area, I mean, twice or thrice a month, you bump into the fellow in the train or the bus or even riding bicycle past you.
All right. Okay, so it's clear that if we do the right things, we're definitely going to find solutions to our problems. But let us keep in mind that we have prioritized certain areas and we're going to discuss extensively how these palliatives are best administered: transport, education, food, housing, healthcare, energy. But I have to head out for a short break. When we return, you will get the chance to tell us how best we can administer these palliatives in these six sectors: transport, education, food, housing, healthcare, and energy. And then one thing that we like to do on Public Square is to look at the tiers or levels of government and how best they can function. So I'm going to be asking you how best, you know, these palliatives can be applied at the federal, state, and local government levels. Thereafter, you can join the conversation. There are tons of messages on Twitter. On WhatsApp. John from Ofin in Ikorodu is already saying, what is palliative when there is no good road? No access to good health facilities. No electricity. No security. Police that is taxed with the responsibility of protecting the citizens are the one brutalizing the citizens because they want to take the bribe. A lot of things. A lot. But you would continue with the conversation when we return. So...
yes, Lagos, I just want to remind you that OnePlay.ng game is still going on and you still have the chance to dial *347*880*3# and get your own share of this palliative.
Interesting. Feel free. For just 200 Naira, you get the chance to participate. And, I mean, this palliative is the one that will not choke you. It will not choke you.
Tell you about Public Square. There are several lines that meet other edges.
Youth of this country who are already in a disillusioned, disenchanted state will be encouraged.
Where we talk about the fine margins. Sometimes it's black, white, and blurry.
It's also informed by the need to save costs and reduce legislative time.
Then there are the actors right at the center, coming through political processes, which could be dramatic.
To the extent of this disappointment, if Parliament does not rise this morning.
And controversial.
If driving through the roads is engaging the macabre dance, is that of government.
And there's you to help connect the dots from the top to the bottom. Join Rotimi Sankore and Arogo Obo at the Public Square every Friday from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is the Public Square.
Nigeria Info 99.3. Welcome back to the Public Square with Rotimi Sankore. Time check is 3 minutes past the hour of 5 p.m. Now, remember, you have the opportunity to join in this conversation. And the focus right from the 4 o'clock hour after the business news being the matter of palliatives in the wake of fuel subsidy removal. And Rotimi has provided informed commentary and the data with respect to, you know, making us understand why there is controversy over the matter of palliatives. When should the palliatives have been administered? The kind of palliatives best suited in a country where 63% of the population live in multidimensional poverty, and how best these palliatives would be administered. And we are going to focus on six key areas: transport, education, food, housing, healthcare, and energy. Over to you, Rotimi. Let's start first with transport. When we talk about palliatives, how best do we administer this in that sector?
Well, again, Chukwudi, I mean, you know, I like to do a lot of comparison so that it won't be that, I mean, this fellow is just talking things that are not possible. So, I mean, let's even set aside for a moment that we're in this mess because by some unfathomable disaster, the federal government, which is in charge of the oil sector, has not been able to make the refineries work. I mean, even that one is just 10 programs on its own, especially when you consider that often the president is also the minister of petroleum. So, I mean, let us set aside that absurdity first. Now, in more developed countries, how are the palliatives administered in such a way that you don't have 63% even in multidimensional poverty? Let's look at transport first. In most developed countries, if you are not working, you don't pay for public transport. Full stop. So, for instance, in most of Europe, if you are a school child, it differs from country to country. In some, you should be in school uniform and train and bus ride are free. In some, as far as you are under 16, whether you are in uniform or not, whether it is weekend or not, train and bus rides are free.
Mm.
And when you consider that train and buses cover the entire country, so you can go out 50 times in a day. If you are 16 and under, you don't pay a dime. So that's one of the ways they ensure that people don't fall into multidimensional poverty. If you are in school, public transport, no pay. If you are a pensioner, they issue a special transport card for you. You don't pay. Why is this possible? It is possible because the transport system is banned. So they can say, Victoria Island.
Hello?
It is going to be based on the fact that some people are there. And during the shower, you need to move 6 million people to point B from.
Hello, Rotimi.
And.
Some situation with the connection, but I am hoping that I can.
1,000 double decker.
Hello, can you hear me?
That these are the routes. You have to stop.
Hello, Rotimi.
Every 5 or 10.
Oh, so sorry about that. Well, there is something about the connection, and I am hoping that I can reach out to him, and this time it will be clearer. We are discussing how best to administer palliatives, and the focus is on transport. Now, he has said, you know, in the usual way of comparing, he has compared the situation in Nigeria to certain parts of Europe, where depending on the category which one falls under, you enjoy certain incentives. You know, he spoke about pensioners, he spoke about students, he spoke about public officers. So many areas where people can benefit, or where it eases the pressure, considering the situation that people are faced with. I'm hoping that I can connect him so that he can carry on with that detailed analysis. But remember that you can join in the conversation. He was supposed to just share information on transport, education, food, housing, healthcare, and energy before I begin to take your feedback. But since we're trying to connect with him, I am going to just head to the phone lines and see if I can take some calls and also messages on WhatsApp. This message on WhatsApp says, "Good afternoon, Chukwudi. May God bless Rotimi Sankore for not only his deep understanding of the issues of governance, but for rising above the disturbing prevalent ethnic biases that has eaten deep in the hearts of so many today. From what he's saying about the lavish leadership styles of these people in power, it is crystal clear that only peculiar leadership style." So he's Comrade Godfrey from Surulere is essentially talking about, you know, people not living like we have everything, even though we are faced with certain issues. Baba Ade from Igbogbo says, like you said, the country is rich enough to do all of these, including cash distribution to the poor masses, if only they'll be prepared to shed or forgo some of their allowances as a sacrifice. Bad government policies should not be borne only by the masses. Thank you very much, Baba Ade, for that message. Good afternoon, Rotimi. Chooks from Ikeja says, no amount of palliative can save a country that is governed by people that believe it is their turn to govern and not because they are qualified. Countries being governed by qualified people will never go out to borrow money from other countries in order to share or siphon in the name of helping the poorest of the poor. In fact, the poorest of the poor are the creation of incompetence in the first place. Full stop. Thank you so much for that message. Let me try to see if I can still connect with Rotimi. While I am hoping to connect with him, I'll take some calls. 0700-993-993-993. Tell me your name, where you're calling from, and make your contribution. Hello?
Hello?
Comrade Koboku.
May God bless you and bless you, Rotimi Sankore.
God bless you too.
Palliative is a term used to be given to people that are quarantined during coronavirus.
Okay.
Even though palliative is an insult. what is the clarity and what is the data to give the palliative? Let them give us fuel. Let them give us food. Let them give us NEPA. We don't need that palliative. We don't need it. Right. We don't need it.
All right. All right, Comrade Koboko, thank you so much. Now, Rotimi is back. I am just going to give you the opportunity to just go on so that we can cover these six key sectors. Now, before the line became distorted, you were talking about the number of buses and the routes that they would ply. So I would allow you go over that, then we move to education, quickly food, housing, healthcare, and energy, so that we can spend the final part of this hour taking feedback from our listeners. Over to you.
So I was saying, just to recap very quickly, that one of the ways that in developed countries they avoid 63% of population in multidimensional poverty is that in key areas like transport, if you are 16 and under or school age, you don't pay for public transport and trains and buses. And one of the government or in every state, the thing is well planned so that they know, oh, in this, I was giving an example of Lekki and Victoria Island, they could say, oh, you know, there are 2 million people in Etiosa. And at social hour, they need to move from point A to point B. If you want to bid for the transport there, you need to provide 1,000 double-decker buses, 500 single-decker buses, and so forth like that. And you need appointment intervals. If whether you move on, school children don't pay, pensioners don't pay. Everybody gets a special card, and then you tap the card in and out. Mm. So that way, the question of when inflation, you know, goes up, you are talking of palliative. That palliative is already factored into the system for school children and pensioners. I mean, that is just one example. Another is education. The education is free and compulsory. 7 6 university. If it is a loan,
hello, Rotimi.
The loan, but if you look at their offering for university in Nigeria, you will see that, I mean, those loans are not practical. He said, for instance, that your parents should be paying 500,000 a year for you to qualify for a loan. How? If you have two parents earning 30,000 a month, you already have 720,000. You are disqualified from
the. The line is really distorted, and I am hoping that, you know, for the purpose of sharing detailed information and allowing our listeners enjoy and also learn, we try as much as we can to ensure that it is fixed. I am going to try one more time to reach out to Rotimi Sankore so that he can carry on and focus on education, food, housing, healthcare, and energy. Hopefully, this time, I would not have any distortions. But remember, you can join us on the conversation, and we're on Twitter at Rotimi Sankore, at Public Square NG, at Nigeria Info FM, 0700-993-993-993, and 01465-7190, the female-only line. Let me return to the phone lines, take some calls while I try to reconnect with Rotimi. Hello. Dropped call. Please step away from your radio or turn down the volume of your radio set. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Good afternoon. I can hear you loud and clear. What is your name and where are you calling from?
Yeah, the name is Joseph Okovas, and I'm calling you from Ikeja area.
You're welcome, Joseph from Ikeja. Go on.
My brother, I would just want to tell you the truth that I heard the sound of that thing they call palliative. What is Tinubu and his group saying? What is palliative? Are we not supposed to have those things he mentioned as palliative ordinarily in Nigeria? Are we not supposed to have good road network? Are we not supposed to have electricity and housing? Is it not the way it is outside? So when they want to talk about, when they say they want to provide those things as palliative, I want to ask, are we not supposed to have it ordinarily? So what is palliative there? What to cushion what? I do not understand it, for once. I don't understand it.
All right. But I bet that if you had been listening since 4 p.m., you would have an idea of, you know, the situation. Hello.
Hello. Good evening, Chukwudi.
Ezedum.
I am Ezedum from Surulere.
You're welcome. Go ahead with your contribution.
Thank you very much. Chukwudi, you want to provide palliative because you remove oil subsidy. You remove oil subsidy because you don't have money to finance it. Okay. What are your plans to make fuel available for Nigeria? The little money you have, you want to waste it. Today, I am very, very sad. How would our president start with this? How do you declare a state of emergency on food and animals when you don't have Minister of Agriculture? You have not formed a government and you are initiating policies. Who will implement government policies? Is it not the cabinet, the ministers? Why is it waiting after 2 months before you form your government? There is massive incapacity. There is a cabal that is already running the government. Because there is no way a sitting government will begin to initiate policies without forming the government. How would you appropriate money without passing through federal executive council?
All right, Ezedum, thank you so much for that passionate contribution. It's clear that, you know, not too many Nigerians are happy about this situation, and you can tell that, you know, people are registering their displeasure. So many messages on our WhatsApp platform, you know, people reaching out to express their opinion on the subject. But let me try one more time to see if I can connect with Rotimi so that he can complete his take on the sectors we highlighted: transport, education, food, housing, healthcare, and also energy. But it would appear like you know, we're having problems with the line. I will just carry on with the phone calls. Hello. Oh. Hello. Please turn down the volume of your radio set. Yes, I can hear you. Good evening. What's your name and where are you calling from?
My name is Victor. I'm calling for Bar.
Victor, you're welcome. Go ahead with your contribution.
Yes. Hello?
I can hear you, Victor. Go ahead.
I don't know, Chukwudi. I want to ask all those House of Assembly, all that mature people, located people, then. Is it anyone there where she can put food for nose?
Eh?
All the educated people for National Assembly.
Yes.
Is it anyone for there where she can put food for nose?
No.
Where they come ask us?
No.
What thing they feel do? Is it anyone for there where she can put food for nose?
No.
Why you come ask us what they want do for the money?
Hello. Hey. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, you're live. What is your name and where are you calling from?
My name is Asaha Rufus. I'm calling from Ibejulekki.
You're welcome. Go ahead.
Okay, Mr. Chukwudi, God bless you and God bless Rotimi Sankore.
God bless you too. Go ahead.
The thing is, it's such a pity that Africa's biggest economy is in this kind of a mess because the head is sick. Imagine what the government has torn us to. See, Mr. Chukwudi, have you heard of a report by the U.S. called Failed State 2030? Have you heard of it?
No.
If you go and check, Nigeria has met all the criteria for Failed State 2030. And you know the salary of our senators? 53 million every month. That's what each senator is collecting.
53 million fooling? 3 months.
Who are we fooling here?
What, quote your source, please.
But, Mr. Chukwudi, go and check.
Where do you want me to check? Where? Just quote your source.
You are in the media too.
No, but wait this. Now, wait. Tell me where you want me to check. Quote your source. Okay. It's really very easy. Make it easy for me.
Okay. Now, the point I'm trying to make.
No, you have not answered my question now. You are supposed to quote your source. Tell me, maybe check this information. Is it Ramafak? Is it MBS? Hello?
Hello.
Good evening. What is your name and where are you calling from?
Hello. Good evening. Chukwudi.
Good evening.
Yeah, your mouth no go pain.
No problem. What will be your name and where you call me from?
My name is Dampi from Igondo.
Dampi, you're welcome. 60 seconds.
I beg. I want to ask you something.
Okay.
I beg. Shall we commit sin against this APC government? Shall we commit crime or sin against this government? I beg. Mona, help us ask them. They suffer too much. Why are they ruling us like this in a dogmatic way? Why are they ruling us in the politic and dogmatic kind of government?
Right.
This thing is too barbaric for this our nation.
All right. Thank you so much. I have Rotimi back on the air. I'm hoping that it is clearer now. I will just allow him just quickly go over these items. Rotimi, over to you. We have around, say, 6 minutes. So I'll just allow you try to cover as many of these areas as possible. Transport, education, food, housing, healthcare, and energy. Over to you.
Well, I mean, let's look at energy, since that is the matter that is causing crisis in Nigeria now. And let's look at what happened, for instance, in many of the developed countries during at the height of the COVID epidemic, when people could not go out to work because nobody really knew where that epidemic was going to end. I mean, what did they do in those countries as form of palliative? They increased something which they already do as a cost of normal governance. So in winter, when you need heating to be able to manage your temperature and everything, one of the things they did was to offer people gas or heating bills. So they said, oh, if you are living in a house, you know, you are four there, and your gas bill has been, say, for instance, €200 or $200 a month, the government was going to subsidize it for the winter so that you don't freeze. Now, even under normal circumstances, without the epidemic, people who can't afford heating, their heating is already subsidized. People who can't afford electricity, their electricity is already subsidized. So during COVID, everybody got extra. In some countries, you got the support. In some countries, it was paid to the energy companies to ensure that they supply the areas with gas or electricity, as the case may be. Yeah, when you talk about food, just basic malnutrition, and this is at local government level, because we need to, you know, scale accordingly. Yeah, not everything is a federal problem. Not everything is a federal challenge. At the local government level, I mean, what do they do in developed countries? Some do it better than others. If you can't afford to eat at all, I mean, they pay you money. I mean, they subsidize your feeding. Or there is a local place where you go, and they serve free food there. You actually turn up there, they call it soup kitchen, they call it sometimes charity support it, but it's mostly done by local government. Or they give you coupons, what is called food coupon. They give you the food coupon, you go to the local supermarket, you exchange that coupon for food items. You can only exchange it for food items.
All right.
And so forth like that.
All right. So yeah. Let me take this message from... let me take this very important message and thereafter we'll carry on with the conversation.
Hello, Lagos. How are you doing? So this is just to continue to remind you, or should I say this is a friendly reminder of something that you already know. For those of you who do not know, something big, hot is happening right here on Nigeria Info. and it is the OnePlay.ng game. It's called the hashtag Money Wheel, and that's how I like to call it. This is a platform for you to actually win cool cash. I mean, it's already weekend, though, and you never can tell. It might just be you if you pick your phone now and start to dial *347*880*3#. That's how simple it is. Pay 200 naira, and you are well on your way to winning yourself some 10, 20, 30, 50K. Only God knows, just for you. Now, by the time you're done doing that, make sure that you stay glued to your radio and listen to the live draw that happens 11:15 to 11:25 every weekday, 8:15 to 8:25 p.m. every weekday. That means if you play now, you can listen to the draw at 8:15, and it might just be you that will walk away with that money. Then, of course, 10:15 to 10:25 every weekday as well on Nigeria Info. I'm talking 99.3 Nigeria Info. Look, I'm not talking to you if you're not 18. I'm talking for Agbalagba dem. So come forward and make sure that you're dialing *347*880*3#, but use your brain to play the game, okay?
Mm. Use your brain, use your brain. And all you need to do is just dial, simple, for 200 naira. Just dial *347*880*3#. 200 naira. We bring you thousands and you'll be okay. And remember, this is the money that doesn't choke. It doesn't choke. Now, I have a short break. When I return, I'll allow Rotimi go on, and then you'd get the chance to join in the conversation. Stay tuned to 99.3 FM, Nigeria Info. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Welcome back to the Public Square with Rotimi Sankore. My name is Ezugu Chukwudi. Now, we have 16 minutes, and I hope that we can maximize these 16 minutes. Now, what I will do is recap for 30 seconds. Allow Rotimi focus on these key areas that we have highlighted, and also discuss something really very important, talking about how best we can apply these measures at the federal, state, and local government levels. So here we go. And you would also get the chance to join us. Now, we are focusing on the matter of palliatives in the wake of fuel subsidy removal, looking at the number of people living in multidimensional poverty in Nigeria, and talking about palliatives. Now, Rotimi has answered questions about the controversy generated over the matter of palliatives, when it should have been administered, how best it should be administered. But this is where I would like to emphasize that this conversation is not essentially about the political party at the center or any political party. This is essentially about government at all levels. You would recall that, I mean, since the return of Public Square, we have discussed extensively the levels and tiers of government, federal, state, and local. And that is why we are talking about how we can apply them at these levels. So this is not about who is the president, who is the governor of my state, or which party is in power. We're talking about governance and government. So I hope that that is really very clear. Now, Rotimi, I have 15 minutes. I would give you the opportunity to go over these sectors without interruption, and also how best they can be applied at the federal, state, and local government levels. I will try and see if maybe for 4 minutes we can take feedback before you wrap the conversation. Over to you.
Thank you, Chukwudi. Well, I mean, as for the key sectors which we mentioned, we gave some examples of how the palliatives are best done, when they were best done, how the palliatives that are crucial: transport, education, food, housing, healthcare, energy, and the fact that the time to have started this should have been before the removal of the fuel subsidy. Now that the fuel subsidy has been removed, what can be done, how quickly, where? I think this is the point at which really we should look at local governments, for instance. Now, if you look at the first quarter of the year, which is the time for which I have the latest data for the local government allocations. So out of the 774 local governments, the top local governments in terms of FARC allocation are in Lagos. So Alimosho, for instance, February, March, you know, Q1, 1.08 billion. I mean, you have to ask, I mean, what has the Alimosho local government done with the 1.08 billion? What are they going to do with it this month? What are they going to do with it next month? So you hear parents calling radio stations all the time saying, in their children's school has tripled the school bus fare. These are 6 or 7 or 8 year old children who you have to wake up at 5 or 6 o'clock to get into the school bus. Now they can't afford the school bus. So if you're an Alimosho and your local government gets 1.08 billion naira a month, you have to ask, even without the removal of the fuel subsidy, what have they done with the money? Now with the removal of the fuel subsidy, are they providing buses for the children? For instance, are they providing health care with that money? Jeremy Ifelodun, 847 million. What have they done with it every month? Kosofe, 835 million. What have they done with it? Moshi, 824 million. What have they done with it monthly? Oshodi, 820 million a month. What have they done with it? Now, Chukwudi, you said this is not necessarily about parties, but if a party runs a candidate and the candidate is in office, then the candidate or the person who has won the election is expected to implement the party manifesto. And the reason why we have democracy is that if people are not happy with that party, at the next election, they are voted out. So there has to be consequence for governance or lack of it. If you do well, you are returned. People are happy with you. If you don't do well, you are not returned. So you are right on the one hand that it is not necessarily about individual political parties, but it is also about parties and their candidates that have run for office taking responsibility. Now, whichever party is in office in Alimosho or Jeremy or Kosofe or Moshi or Oshodi, what have they done with this money per month? What are they going to do with this money per month?
Interesting.
Are they going to address education? Are they going to address transport? Are they going to address malnourishment, housing, healthcare, energy? In more developed countries, local government plays a key role in housing. If you are homeless, you apply to your local government for housing. In some countries, it works better than others. In Nigeria, can you apply to your local government for housing? Are the local governments, are they responsible enough to ensure that those issues are dealt with? Or for your energy subsidy, if you can't afford to pay your bills, energy bills, if you're unemployed, for instance, if you can't afford to eat, are your local governments providing food or soup kitchens for you? They are not. The guidance is needed from the federal level and the state level. But what we have seen essentially is that because of state capture at all levels, the local government seems insignificant, whereas they are getting these big allocations monthly. In some cases, the state governments have swallowed the local government. So it's doubtful if the local government actually have any autonomy to implement. So you have to ask which parties in government at the state level. What is their attitude towards the local government? We can't exhaust all the discussions, but these are things people need to think of. Why? Because the suffering has not even started. If you look at the data, the population growth figures and so forth, it can get much worse than this. Wow. So the issue is, what can we do in the immediate short and medium term to make sure that the country does not break down or fail completely? And all the tiers of government have a role to play. Any idea that, that they can dodge their responsibility is not feasible. Because when a state fails, say like Bornu or Yobe or Katsina or Zamfara, the state government has failed. And they start failing from the individual local governments where the schools were not provided, where the girls were not, the right of the girls to go to school was not being upheld. That's where the state start to fail. And then when the local government fails and then the entire state government fails, then they start calling for soldiers to come and rescue them. I'm afraid we may be in a situation in Lagos in one or two election cycles, where the Agberos will start demanding rolling government. Already we can see them there, park management, one form or the other. If there are the people now guaranteeing election of a party into office, how long before they start demanding commissioner or ministerial positions? It's because the states are failing. They've become contenders for power. Many states in Nigeria now look like episode of Game of Thrones.
I would want us to stay on, the application of these palliatives and the tiers of government. One federal government, 36 state governments, 774 local governments. But it would appear like in the past we have not had coordination. Under the leadership of President Bola Ahmed Tinubu.
That's true. No coordination. That's true.
But I mean, if we look at the administration of President Bola Ahmed Tinubu, it would appear like there is the attempt to, to galvanize the states and also, get to see that the local governments also participate. Is it something about our laws, or it is just the practice? Because there are even states in Nigeria where you do not even have local governments. Some people have set up caretaker chairmen. Some elections have not been conducted in years. How are we going to achieve all of these when in the very application and looking at the levels or tiers of government, it would seem that in some states they are practically non-existent?
Well, I mean, the matter of local government autonomy is a big issue for discussion, because the ruling class has to understand that when the local governments start to fail, then the state governments will start to fail. And when the state governments start to fail, the federal government will fail. So you are right, Chukwudi, in saying that the coordination is crucial, not just for the three tiers, but across the sectors. You always hear me ask, we always hear of the commissioners of police meeting to fight crime. When have we heard that the 36 state commissioners in charge of education or youth or labor or gender met to address their thematic areas? When have we heard that the local government officials, to the extent that they may exist or not, say in Lagos, for instance, each local government should have an education officer. Do they exist? Have they ever met before to address these issues? How many local governments have library, for instance? Every local government should have a transport desk, a housing officer, a health officer. I mean, have they met in Lagos? Do they exist? These are questions that we need to keep asking. Because if we don't ask, then we shouldn't be surprised when we go the way of Somalia or Afghanistan or Democratic Republic of Congo. This question of palliative justice, it's an occasion to discuss this, when should palliatives have been applied? And historically, the palliative should have been applied incrementally according to your level of poverty, so that when things like fuel subsidy happen without refinery, the impact is less. The problem here is that all the palliatives on transport, food, housing, healthcare, energy have never really been in existence anyway. So once the fuel subsidy plug was pulled unceremoniously, with no palliative in place at the national level, then more people plunged into poverty. And that is the problem that we are facing. They all need to coordinate and act quickly and act fast before the country breaks down.
All right. So we have got 3 minutes, but I will just spend 45 seconds going through messages on WhatsApp, then I return to you to wrap. This message is from Rich from Germany. He says, here in Germany, my state governor travels to Berlin by train. Whenever he travels to Berlin and he uses the Passat Volkswagen within the city of Dusseldorf. Now, about palliatives, there is no way it can work in Nigeria due to the lack of database, corruption from federal, state, local government, and civil servants. In Germany, due to hike in energy prices, the German government introduced the €49 train monthly ticket for train users nationwide. In a nutshell, Germany subsidizes everything, even milk. Sad that Nigerian career politicians have not started discussing how to solve Nigeria's one-ton problems. Honestly, I'm sorry for what the common man goes through in Nigeria. Nze Felix from Magbon Badagry says, tell them we don't need the 8K. If we can survive coronavirus punishment, we will overcome this situation. Let the government use the $500 billion to repair our refineries. Okay, so Madam Ron Fola from Isolo says, Mr. Rotimi is well knowledgeable. Says the government should engage this kind of man as one of their advisors. Doyin says there must be a very comprehensive and extensive value-added audit at all levels of governance, including the various fiscal budgets. This value-added audit would identify and checkmate all sorts of wasteful spending, leakages, inefficiencies, and fraud. Good day, Chukudi and Rotimi. There is no better time to ask or demand for a drastic cutdown of the politicians' humongous salaries and crazy allowances other than now. This is the real palliative review that we demand for. So many messages on our WhatsApp platform, but limited time. So we have got a minute, 50 seconds. Over to you, Rotimi, your final statement on this subject.
Well, Chukwudi, I mean, we can't recap everything in that time. I would just say that, I mean, the conversation always continues on Nigeria Info. So I would just say, tune into all the programs, the Morning Crossfire, you know, Hard Facts and so forth. And the conversation continues, of course, on Twitter. I'm at Rotimi Sankore. If I haven't addressed anything, you know, please, you know, just tag. I will answer to the extent that I can at Public Square NG and, of course, at Nigeria Info FM. I mean, the discussion is unending, and we hope we can resolve the problems before the problems collapse the country.
All right. Thank you so much, Rotimi. Very insightful and also very, very interesting conversation. I am going to just, share the handles again on Twitter at Rotimi Sankore, at Public Square NG, at Nigeria Info FM. If you'd have questions, if you'd want to engage Rotimi Sankore further, please feel free to tweet at him at Rotimi Sankore, at Public Square NG. You're definitely going to get a response. Thank you so much, Rotimi Sankore, for the detailed analysis and also the, you know, comprehensive data that you have shared. And thanks to all our listeners. Every Friday, right after business news, from 4 p.m. all the way till 6 p.m., we bring you Public Square. And I am very certain that every time you're tuned into the show, you definitely leave with something. It's important as Nigerians to empower ourselves, you know, be knowledgeable about all of these data and be informed when we look at the commentary and the analysis. It would help us, you know, make meaningful contributions when we make our own contribution to nation building and national development. Do have a great evening and keep your radio locked on 99.3 FM Nigeria Info.